Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I'm so excited to have all of you here with us today and my wonderful guest, Miss Stevie Dawn Carter. So Stevie, please do us all a favor. Tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into this space.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Kat, for having me today. Love getting to be here and just talk to friendly, cool people, right? Because that's what life should really be all about. Yes. My name is Stevie Dawn Carter. I am from Mansfield, Texas. I am a professional speaker. And what got me into the space? Such a great question. Without my entire life story, let's just go with multiple career paths, and then ended up as a college professor. And was a college professor for about 12 years. Love it. Still do some adjunct professing now, but really decided that I was kind of sick of bureaucracy and doing what other people told me to do, right? So decided I should go out on my own. And we did that 8 years ago. So we now have three separate companies, and both my husband and I are in the entrepreneurial spirit space and cannot imagine ever working for other people ever again. So,
that was pretty good. That was really short, condensed. Okay, I got it. That was awesome.
No. Work on it.
Now, and I know that you do a lot of different speaking. So can you elaborate on your favorite topics that you talk about?
Absolutely. So I am known for my emotional intelligence work. That's what my PhD is in, and that's what I've studied the most. So I love to talk all things emotional intelligence and empathy. But I also do a lot of work on communication and a lot of work on leadership. And so when I'm not speaking on stages, teaching those kinds of training topics, then occasionally I get to hop into a fun group with entrepreneurs and just talk about how speaking can be a business or can be marketing for your business, which are both really, really exciting things for me. So I speak, and then I also speak about speaking, if that makes any kind of sense.
It's good. I got it. I totally understand. No, I love that though, that you found like kind of, you know, your zone of genius, like your sweet spot to where you get to enjoy what it is that you do. And it makes things so much better, right? Like even on the bad days when things feel like they're just going down the drain or not going right, it's a little bit different, you know, in that. And you have to, for those that are new, to the term of emotional intelligence. Yeah. Can you give us a little bit of like a definition or an understanding? Because I love this word, or I guess it's two words, but I feel like it is very new and in coming into the spaces of entrepreneurs and even corporate.
For sure. Yes. So lots of different definitions, but the one I really focus on is it is a learned ability to manage and regulate our emotions and be able to interpret messaging from others more clearly and correctly, right? So when I think about emotional intelligence, I think about it in terms of communication and how often our emotions make us say things we don't mean to say, or our emotions make us hear things we don't mean to hear. And that is something that I think gets in our way, whether we are talking to customers and clients as entrepreneurs, whether we are leading our teams, or whether we are working with our spouse or managing our children. I mean, it probably even works with dogs. I don't have a dog, so I do not know this for a fact. I cannot put research behind that. But I do know it doesn't work with cats because they don't care.
They just don't care.
So yeah, they have none of that. But I think it really, to me, it really just comes to how do we allow our emotions not to cloud not only our judgment, but our communication.
Yeah, I love that. And that's such a great breakdown too, because, you know, this is a conversation that I've had with a lot of people lately, especially those that are in their business that are looking to hire people into their business, is being able to understand how to have conversations on a very different level than what we have been traditionally taught, right? And I know personally in my own life, learning emotional intelligence and how to communicate with that behind all of the things, right, has helped me not only in my business, because it opens your ears up to hear what people are saying and ask questions when you don't understand instead of assuming, but it's also helped me in my relationship with my kids. So I have two teenage boys. My oldest one's going to kill me if I keep calling him a teenager, but he's 19. So he's still a teenager to me.
Technically,
so, right. Technically. But having two teenage boys and especially the things that I've been through with my abuse and things like that, that I talk about a lot on my podcast, there was a lot of healing pieces, not only for me, but there was healing for my kids, and healing for my kids looked very different than the healing that I was going through. Right. And so once we kind of got to a space to where I started letting go of what I thought they should react to, what I thought they should be paying attention to, and just really started asking a ton of questions, it really opened up the doors to be able to see things. And what I really love about this as well, and I think everybody should learn it, but it's interesting because, like you said, it almost takes the emotion out of it. So when you're talking, it's very neutral. There is no "you're attacking me." There is no "I'm attacking you." You really are trying to wholeheartedly understand the entire situation, the entire conversation. And if you've been doing it for a while, it also opens your brain up to other perspectives that you're then allowed to, not allow, but you're then able to be aware of. Whereas before, like you were saying, your emotions kind of get in way, they kind of guard you from what you're talking about. And that's why assuming gets people in so much trouble, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things I think you said there that's so important for everybody is we talk a lot about like expectations on people, right? Having expectations of how people should work or what they should do. But we have a lot of emotional expectations of people. How we expect them to emotionally respond and react to things that we emotionally respond and react to. And I think one of the things that can get in our way, especially in terms of grief and healing and any of those deep emotional processes that we all go through at different moments in our life, is when I'm expecting somebody else to have the exact same emotional response to a trigger that I have. Mm-hmm. And then when they don't, I get upset. I get angry. I get dismissive. Then I'm mad at them for not having the right emotions, not only everything else that I could be mad at them for, right? And I think that's such an important piece of emotional intelligence and of just what you're describing, which is healthy, trust-filled, good relationships, right? Relationships at all levels. And that is this ability to say, I have my emotions. I know how I want to react. I know this makes me happy. I know this makes me sad, but that doesn't mean it's what it does for Kat, right? So I should sit there and let Kat respond as she needs to. And then I can accept that, right? In an intellectual place, not an emotional place. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, it's like when my husband and I work together 24/7. Right. And a lot of people are like, "You're crazy." And I'm like, kind of, but that's okay. I make it work as I shove things at him today as I was running to be here. But one of the things that we can struggle with a lot is our emotional levels are very different. So there's two different kinds of humans, right? Well, really three, but the two that we tend to talk about, there's overemoters, which are the people who have highs and lows, right? So you have very high emotions, very low emotions, very high emotions, very low emotions. And then there's underemoters, which are the people who just kind of rely on baseline all the time. So they just kind of are non-emotional most of the time, right? They don't have the super highs. They don't have the super lows. They're just kind of good. They're unflappable, right? But when you put an underemoter with an overemoter into a relationship of any kind, right, what you're going to have is the overemoter is going to be like, oh my gosh, we made $10,000. That's amazing. And the underemoter is like, yeah, cool. So anyway, about this.
Yes.
It's like, what? Like, this was incredible. You're supposed to celebrate. Why aren't you happy? And the truth is that they're just feeling the emotions they're feeling. And that needs to be acceptable. And I think that's one of the skills that emotional intelligence teaches us, to your point, which is that ability to say, to almost take the emotion out of it and say, okay, I see what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And that is just as valid and acceptable as what I'm experiencing, even if it's not the same. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love the word acceptance, right? Because we have a hard time accepting ourselves. We have a hard time accepting our own emotions. We have a hard time accepting our own failures. So it makes a lot of sense as to why we don't accept things from others, or we're over accepting from others and then even harder on ourselves. Right.
Yeah. And leaders. Yeah.
Yes. Sure. Recovering one.
I know. But, are we all?
Right. And it's interesting too, because I think along with the acceptance of where someone else is at, you are meeting them in the middle, whatever that middle looks like, without trying to define it beforehand. But I also think that that means that you have to be able to take out the ego as well.
Yes. Well, and it can't be, there can be no right or wrong when it comes to emotional health. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important lesson for us all to learn. There is no right or wrong when it comes to emotional health. Your emotions are just as valid as my emotions are. It doesn't make either one of us more ill or either one of us more healthy because of how we respond. And I don't like when people say that, right? Like, well, they had such a healthy emotional response to that. They had an emotional response that makes sense to them, and you consider it healthy because it aligns with your views.
Yeah.
That's not saying that it was healthy, and that's not saying that somebody else's was ill. I really struggle with that. Right? Mm-hmm. Because that's putting judgment on it based on ego, to your point, right? Here's my perception of right and wrong, and you're either meeting that or not.
Yep.
Instead of saying there is, it just is. Emotions just are. They are our hormones. They come from our brain. And I cannot climb inside your head. And most of us would not want to climb inside somebody else's head to figure out why you feel the way you feel. That is not my job.
Yeah.
As a person connecting with you in the world, that is not my responsibility. My responsibility is to accept you as you are and as you are presented to me, and to recognize that humanness. And I think, to your point, it requires us to let go of the ego, to let go of the, but I'm right and my way is healthy and my way is correct. We have to let go of all that and just go, my way is my way, your way is your way. Now let's go together. Right? Yep. Because that's where we're at. There's no right or wrong here. And that does require people to release that ego, which can be very difficult, especially over things that we're super passionate about.
Yeah. Because that triggered. Yeah. Right. That's going to be a trigger in itself. And you're right. I love this conversation that I've seen come up a lot lately around neutrality. Right. Mm-hmm. Of just being neutral. And I know that we have a really hard time doing that because we have all of these beliefs that were put onto us based on the way that we were raised, based on the way that we have been throughout our lives, based on the people that we've been around and what is constantly on repeat around us. And what we don't realize is we take all of those beliefs, which are just perceptions from other people, and we take them as our own without saying, does that make sense? Does that align? Is that really true? Or is that somebody else's truth? And that's, I think, extremely hard for people to understand, is there are tons of truths out there, because I have my truth. You have your truth, right? This person has their truth. And then there can be scientific truths, which, to be honest, those are always changing as well. That's why they're theoretical most of the time. But we forget that that is something that we can actually do in our lives. So a lot of times when we come at something, not only is it the ego, it's also those belief systems that we have internalized because we just accepted it. Because we're like, yeah, no, that makes sense. Right. Without even questioning it. And then we wonder why we get into these situations where we butt heads so hard with other people. And it's because we have accepted other things without questioning them, which is a huge thing that I love discussing with people, is how can you get curious?
Yeah. Well, and how can you accept not only the idea that there are multiple truths, right, within a situation, within a given environment, but I think just also accepting that there's no right answer. There is an element of just, we do the best we can, or we choose the right answer at this moment, right? And to your point, like talking about how, well, science is always changing, right? Like there was a time where milk was good for you. Now there's a time where milk is bad for you, right? And in the essence, probably just needs to come down to, do you like milk? And if you do, drink it. And if you don't. And that's okay, right? But this idea that there's a right and a wrong.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there are some universal things that I think we can all agree are right or wrong. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our just daily life, it's just, to your point, perceptions. And your perspective and my perspective may be different. That doesn't make either one of us right or wrong. It just means we're different. And how do we get curious about what other people think without judgment, right? Like I've seen a lot of focus lately, and we need to ask more questions. Like as people, we just need to be more curious. We need to ask more questions. And I agree with that completely. But there is a very good way to ask questions, and there's a very bad way to ask questions. And I think we're missing that little extra piece of that pie of saying, you need to learn how to ask questions that don't have judgment implied.
Yes.
Right? Because if I say, well, Kat, what made you do that? That has judgment implied. Right? Now, it's a question. I'm being curious, but there is judgment implied in my tone. There's judgment implied in my facial expression. So, right, is that truly me being curious? Or is that me trying to judge you and shame you into coming to my way of thinking?
Yeah.
Right? And so I do think that there's that extra added level. Right? Let's all get curious, but let's get curious without judgment. Neutrality, right? How do we ask questions that truly are just trying to understand? I just want to understand your perspective. Just that's it. I just want to understand. That's it. I'm not saying I'm going to agree. I'm not saying I'm going to change my way of thinking. I'm just saying I want to understand, right? And how do we get to that level of curiosity without taking on questions with judgment?
Yeah. And I love that. I love that you brought up the tone and the facial expressions, because boy, do those cause an issue. Although my facial expressions get me in trouble all the time, because apparently I just have this resting thing going on occasionally.
Oh, yeah. I hate the RBF thing. So here's what I tell people. I'm like, I have a thinking face. It's not resting. It is not nothing. It is a thinking face. You have interrupted a great thought.
Oh,
and
I like that.
Feel that pain when you make that face, because I was thinking a great thought and you came in and you interrupted, right? That's on you. Yeah, right? But I hate, because I have that too. That's why I say it. I have that too. Like, I have to force myself to be this smiley, right? Like, this is not my norm. This is what I do when I'm in front of people, because they tell me it makes me less ugly looking. But anyway, right? But that perspective of facial expressions, body language, tone of voice, all of these things are elements to that emotional intelligence conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think for some people, emotional intelligence is just about the emotion. And while that is accurate, that is step one, right? In our work, we teach there's four phases of emotional intelligence. So phase one is the awareness. Know yourself, know what you're feeling. Know what others are feeling. Get a vibe, right?
Yeah.
That's like basic phase one. Phase two is manage that so that you express yourself in the way you wish to. Right. So how do you express through your face and through your body language and your tone of voice and your speed of talk and your volume of talk? How do we do all that to express the message we truly want to express and not let some internal emotions yank that right into a different place where we said the right thing, but it didn't sound right, you know? And that's where we like put our foot in our mouths and we're like, oh, that came out wrong, right?
Yeah.
So that's like that phase two, right? But we have to talk about it. And a lot of people only stop at phase one of just like understanding their own emotional creature. And I'm like, that's awesome. Good for you. But there's a lot of other stages, right? So if we do the expression stage, then you start thinking about how to fix your face, right? And fix your body and all the things mm-hmm. that go along with that. And then that third stage is saying, okay, now how do I plan for these events before they happen? How do I not let them happen and let my emotions be a response? How do I consider, we call it the consideration phase. How do I put consideration and planning into my interactions so that nothing surprises me, so that nothing gets under my skin, so that I can do all these other things accordingly in a good way and not feel like it's like, oh, I let that get to me in that moment, right? How do I not be triggered? Yeah. So that's phase three. And then phase four is being able to utilize empathy in the right way. And empathy is a big part of the puzzle. And I think it's one that we're just now, like you said, like emotional intelligence has been around, but people are still like just now getting to accept it. Yeah. I think empathy is on that same track. And I think they go together. I don't think you separate them. So empathy to me is like the phase four. If you've done all these other phases of greatness about managing yourself and expressing yourself and considering situations, now you need to learn how to use empathy in the right way. And I will tell you that research is showing us we're using it wrong. And it is killing us, literally. And that's a problem that we have to figure out as a society, right? We have more and more empaths coming into our world, which is great that people are empathetic. That's awesome. But they're too empathetic. We're now having this problem where people are so empathetic, they're draining themselves and draining their life force by being around other people. Well, that's not healthy. That's not healthy. We don't need to be there. Right. Yeah. And so teaching people about this idea of empathy and the levels of empathy and how you choose the right one for the right situation so that you can protect your peace and be okay. Yeah. Right. Anyway, sorry, soapbox moment. I get really into it. As you can obviously tell, I'm going to take a sip of Diet Coke and allow you to speak now. My
take it. No, I love it though, because you're right. I agree with you. I do think that empathy plays into it big time, but I do think that a lot of us use it wrong. And I've dealt with a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm so empathic. But what you're saying, like they do is they pull in everybody else's energies and then they're so overwhelmed because they're feeling all these different things. They can't tell what's theirs. They can't tell what's not. And then they just shut down.
Preach. Yes.
Shut down. Yes.
And we have to stop, right? We have to stop that. That is not healthy for them. It's not healthy for any of us interacting with them. Mm-hmm. It's not healthy for anybody involved, right? And so one of the things I just had a conversation about this earlier today with one of my communication classes, but we talked about empathy and we spend like a whole hour on just empathy. Right. And everybody's always like, we're really going to talk about empathy for an hour. Come on, Stevie Dunn. I get it. I'm like, you do. And I know that you get it. And I love that you get it. But I think there's a lot of nuance in it that you haven't explored. Right. So we're going to explore that nuance. And so three basic levels of empathy. Level number one, cognitive, meaning you can see somebody else is feeling something and you can say intellectually, man, that looks like that's rough. I am sorry you're going through that.
Yeah.
That must suck. Like that's compassion, right? I see you going through it. I acknowledge it. That's great. Do you know level one empathy should work in 80% of situations?
Oh.
That's it. That's all you need to do. Most humans only need to be seen and heard.
True.
Right? They want to be seen and heard. When you validate them, I see your emotions. I see you're going through something. Wow, I feel for you in that moment. That's all they needed.
Yep.
What most of us do is level two empathy, which is emotional empathy. And that's when I feel it with you, right? So you're crying, I'm crying. You're throwing up, I'm throwing up. Let's all be emotional together, right? We take on the emotions and then we also feel them, right? The problem is, right? Now you're actually feeling that emotion, which you weren't feeling 30 seconds ago. And were you really in a space to do that? And is that helpful to the situation? Is two people, this is always the way I put the example. It's really bad, but go with me. Is two people throwing up really better than just the one where you then come on, right? In reality,
makes sense. No.
One of us, right? We do not have both of us doing this. It's okay, right? Somebody has to be the intellectual cleaning the person up person.
Yes. Yeah.
So no, I don't need to be there with you. That does not require me, right? And so we have to think about that. But that is sometimes what we do when we take on other people's emotions. We're using level two empathy, which means I emotionally connect with you on this. And we are feeling this together. I feel your pain.
Yeah.
There are very few situations where I need to feel your pain to understand your pain.
I can
understand your pain because I can connect it to something I've been through, but I don't need to feel it again. Yep. In fact, that's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for you that I now feel my pain and now we're both in it.
Yeah.
I'm only of service to you when I stay cognitive. Then I can help you heal. Right? But if we both go down that path, now I can't help you heal.
Yeah, because everything's blurred.
Right? It's too much. Yeah. So we're using emotional empathy when we really shouldn't be. Emotional empathy should be saved for family and friends only. It shouldn't be at work. It shouldn't be with clients. It shouldn't be with any of that. And even then, it should really only be when, you know, you're grieving together.
Yeah.
You're healing together in that moment. Then yes, allow that emotional empathy to be there. Absolutely. Right? When my friend is struggling over the grief of losing a loved one, I am going to be emotionally empathetic and I will cry when she cries. Was that person important to me in the same way? No. So why am I crying? Well, because she's crying and that's the connection we have.
Yeah.
But that's not at work. That's not a customer. That's a best friend, right? Yeah. That's where that level of emotional empathy should remain, right? Mm-hmm. And then the final level of empathy that we should use very, very rarely and probably only with our children is actionable empathy. And that means I understand where you're at. I feel with you and I feel so much that I am now going to fix it for you and I am going to save you.
Oh, the save you part.
Right? But do we do it? Absolutely. And we probably do
all the time.
Right? Because we see them struggling and we say, okay, I can help you. Let me take this off your plate. Let me manage this for you. Let me, right? But realistically, all we're doing is taking all their emotion into us, whether we can manage it or not. And are they going to heal if we save them from it?
Nope. And boundaries go out the window.
Exactly. Right. And so, but that's that third level of empathy. And so research is showing us that we should be spending 80% of our time at that cognitive easy level that don't involve any drain on our emotions, but just rely on us being intelligent and being compassionate. And if we stop there, then those other levels are saved for when we need them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you have emotional space and bandwidth to handle them.
Yeah.
But if I spent that emotional bandwidth at work, what do I have for my family? Right. And if you're a leader of a team as a business owner, leader of a team in a corporate space, leading a Sunday school group, it doesn't matter what you lead, right? As a leader, if you go into level two and level three empathy, you're losing boundaries, as you said, and you're losing respect and authority.
Ooh.
If you're feeling it with them, can you tomorrow tell them what to do?
Oh, I like that one. That's everybody that heard that. Please make sure you wrote that down. Please go ahead and repeat that if you can.
So like if you are crying with them today, can you tell them what to do tomorrow? Right? We lessen our authority and our respect when we get into that level two, level three empathy in the wrong situation. Not saying it's not there when you need to be for a friend and for a family member. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And we use those levels. But when we're at work as leaders, I want to be friendly with my team. I do not want to be their friend. Those are two different things.
Yep.
I want to remain in a position of authority to be able to give them feedback when things aren't right and to be able to correct their behavior when something goes wrong, I can only do that if I've stayed level one empathy. Mm-hmm. If I've slipped down into level two and level three, they now see me as an equal, not as a person of power. Right? It's ugly. I hate to talk about power, but it's there. And we got to think about it. Right? And so a lot of times in our leadership program, we talk specifically about how do you handle situations that are emotional at that level one empathy and don't dip down into level two and level three. Because as a leader, you can't afford to lose that.
Yeah.
You have to keep that boundary in place. And I think it's a little dicier when we're talking about family, friends, things that maybe the boundaries aren't as important in those moments, right? But in the workplace, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're working corporate, if you're in a workplace relationship, level one empathy, all you need.
Yeah. Well, and what happens too, when you go into two and three, you also start spilling your beans about all these things that you probably shouldn't have brought up.
Right?
Now you've got other people.
I overshare.
Now you've got other people going, wait a minute. Now they were just telling me this, but I thought that they had this together, but now we're hearing this. So why are you telling me what to do? Now you've got, because everybody processes, the mind starts going, it starts saying, okay, but this doesn't make sense. But why then this, right? So there's some things that are just better left unsaid and untalked about. Not saying that you can't equalize with somebody. I do that a lot when I'm dealing with clients, right? I'm like, I understand. I've been there. Like I've been there.
But I don't need to share all the dirt and I don't need to share all the dirty laundry for me to be able to say to you, I have been there. I've felt that before and it does suck. And I am sorry you're going through that. And I know it's hard, right? That's compassion. That's great, right? Mm-hmm. That's all we need.
Yeah.
And that is, you're so right. Because when we take on the emotion and we get into an emotional place, we can overshare. Such a good point.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was that person one time. But it's so true. And then of course, right. It's always after the fact, it may be a week, it may be 2 weeks, but that moment that you need people to do the things that you need done, including your kids, right. Yes. Then you step into that place where like, well, but you were telling me that you didn't know how to, right? So now you're all the way back into this, like, okay, great. Now, how are we going to figure this out? Because now you're judging me from something I told you. And you can't share things like that in a space where emotion is rode so high, because the judgment's not there in the moment, but it's going to be there afterward.
Yes, it will. And the perspective, right? Again, right? Lots of people have been divorced. No two people's divorce is the same.
Yeah.
Right. So I can share about mine and somebody can share about theirs and we can feel like we connected on it. But if we share all the gory details, is the perspective the same? Right. So do they perceive my decisions, my choices, my way of handling it as the right way or as the way they would do it? And to your point, when the emotions have been so high in that moment, we're just connecting.
Yep.
Right. We're just connecting and it feels good to share and to vent and to have all those moments. Right. But later when their brain kicks in, are they going to start going, well, but I don't think I agree with how you handled that.
Yeah.
And if I don't agree with how you handled that, do I agree with how you're handling this?
Yep.
And now we have an issue. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just, and that's why I'm so passionate about this work, is because I know in my own life how it plays out and how bad it can be. Like, I've lived those moments. It's not like I'm the most perfect emotionally intelligent human on the planet. Like, I am not. I make these mistakes every gosh darn day, which is why I can share them with people. But I think it's why I'm so passionate about it, because I see it in my own life and I see how it plays out. And then I see it in other people's lives. And I really go back to, right, we as humans are meant to connect, right? And so how do we build those connections in a way where we're both safe?
Mm-hmm.
And me having more emotional intelligence and learning how to empathize at the right level is not only keeping me safe and protecting me, it is also keeping the other human safe and protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's our job, right? As humans trying to connect to each other, how do we make it a safe space? And you make it a safe space by using emotional intelligence and empathy correctly.
Yeah. I love that. And it makes so much sense, right? You can't heal a wound if you continue to keep scratching at it, right? And if you're both doing it at the same time, because you're like, look, I got mine too, right? Then you're both bleeding and now blood's everywhere. And we're just, right?
You don't
just,
need that. We don't need two people bleeding. One bleeding is enough.
We have the best examples today ever. We got
puking. We got on it today. We are definitely feeling it.
It makes sense. I just, you know, and you're right. Like, we don't understand just how important this is, right? Of just learning to understand other people and to be honest. And I've talked about this with so many people. Yeah. If we could learn to do this with the male and the female, come on, y'all. Like, you don't understand the understanding that we would have in our relationships when we are dealing with, you know, women dealing with men in places of power. Cause then you're like, oh, he's just got ego. Maybe he's got some things that felt like a trigger. Okay. That's not my fault. That's something he needs to deal with. Right. You take a lot of it out of there. And you also make space to ask questions like, hey, I know what you said, but are you okay? Like it feels like there's something behind that, you know, and you can, which is going to, whether it's male or female, help that person open up, because now they're like, oh, it's a safe space. Right. And I see that a lot, especially having boys and having my husband around, right. That there's so many times where women are like, men just don't get it. Well, we don't get them either. So if you can learn to open that perspective and come from a place of curiosity, I'm telling you guys, it will change your freaking world. Like, it will change your relationships. It will change how you speak with your spouse, how you speak with your kids, you know, and I come at this from personal, you know, growth in myself. You know, my husband and I have been together for just over 4 years. We have yet to have an argument. We have disagreements and we have conversations where we meet in the middle, but we do not have arguments. We do not yell. We do not scream. We do not get at one another. We are coming from a place that is very open and trying to understand and asking questions, which is something I'm teaching my boys now, right? Is like, okay, you think mom said this. Well, it sounded, I'm like, but did you ask me? Well, no. Right. Well, then how are you supposed to clarify if you just sit in your head and assume? And I think that is where we ruin a lot of friendships, relationships, whether it's personal or professional, is because there is not enough questions or follow-up to say, you know what? I don't think I understand what you said. And if I do, I'm not agreeing with it. So can you explain better? Give people that space, because I guarantee you most of the time it's that they didn't explain it correctly, or they could have said it better, but were in the moment, didn't think about it. And when you give them that space to correct it, you solve so many things.
All the things. Well, and so much of it, right, is we talk a lot about like emotional baggage. And I do believe we all have emotional baggage. I'm not saying that we don't, but, actually more what gets in our way is emotional carryover. And carryover is the amount of life you led, like right now, you and I, right? We're having this conversation in the afternoon. We have had a lot of life up until this moment. A lot of life has happened, right? Could be good life, could be bad life, could be mediocre life. Doesn't matter, but we've all had life that happened up until this moment. And so then we get into this conversation, and it is likely that one of us at some point says something that strikes the other person, not in the moment about this conversation, but to some of that emotional carryover from the rest of the day. Right? And so let's put that into a scenario. If you just had a conversation with your husband where it was a disagreement, you weren't seeing eye to eye, maybe you got through it, you got to compromise, you got to a good space, but then you immediately turn around and have a client not want to pay their bill. Right? Now, how do you take the emotions from this experience and not let them come out in this experience? Right? And so often that's what's happening. So to your point, when you ask for clarity, when you say, hey, I think I heard you, but I just want to make sure I understand where you're coming from, it allows that person to take that moment to go, oh, that was probably more harsh. And it's probably harsh, not because I'm mad at you, but because of this happening before I got here, and that emotional carryover, I didn't regulate it, right? I didn't regulate it enough. So by just asking them, right, giving them what I call a conversational do-over, right? Which is, here's another chance to say it.
Yes.
You know, it allows them to really put that perspective on themselves and go, yeah, sorry, that came out harsh. What I meant to say was, and now we have clarity. And now I don't spend the rest of the day thinking you hate me over something that truly had nothing to do with me, but was emotional carryover from the rest of life.
Mm.
And we do that. We carry these emotions with us. They're not just gone the next minute because, oh, we, you know, like my husband and I, we're always like, hug it out. We will hug it out. But when we walk away from that hug, are we necessarily 100% okay? No, it takes a little time to get over it. Even if we've hugged it out and we're fine, there's still an emotional carryover.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you show up to that next person and not launch at them? And to your point, learning how to ask questions to say, hey, I think I heard you. I'm not quite sure I understood what you meant there. Could you clarify? Could you walk me through that again? Whatever those questions are, it gives the person a chance to really make sure they're being clear. And it gives you a chance not to hold a grudge over something that had nothing to do with you.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. So much. We're just going to wrap it up right there. We're going to end
it. I love it.
Actually, and Stevie, as we come to an end, I can't thank you enough for this conversation. Like I love this so much. And this has become such a pillar in my business and in my personal life that I feel like so many people need to hear this, that you all should put this episode on repeat. But as we come to a close, I always ask my guests, do you happen to have a quote or a piece of advice you would like to leave the audience with?
In fitting with our conversation today, I would say one of my favorite quotes that I use in my trainings all the time is, it doesn't matter what you say, it only matters what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we spend a whole lot of time worrying about our words and what we're saying, and not a whole lot of time thinking about what are they hearing out of this conversation right now? And how do we seek clarity in that? So it doesn't matter what you say, only matters what they hear.
Oh, I like that. That one's, yep, that's getting up. That's a quote that's staying. We're keeping that one. So, Stevie, tell everybody then, how can they connect with you, get in touch with you, be in your world?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to follow me personally, you can do that at Dr. Stevie Dunn, Dr. Stevie Dunn. Somebody once told me that nobody reads to the end of your name to see the PhD, so put doctor in front of it. So I've always done that. So you can find me all the social media platforms. I'm at Dr. Stevie Dunn. I also have my personal website is drstevedunn.com. And then if you're interested in emotional intelligence stuff and you want more of that kind of work, Empathics with an X, E-M-P-A-T-H-I-X, empathics.net is where we do all of our emotional intelligence training. So you can see articles and learn things at that site. So come check us out there too.
Oh, I love that so much. And of course, we'll have all the information in the chat. So, or in the chat, in the show notes. So everybody can follow along, click right on and be able to find you super easily. So Stevie, thank you again so much for this conversation today. I can't thank you enough.
No, it was wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Kat.
Thank you. And I hope you guys were taking notes. And boy, if you did not, you need to replay this message. Y'all, it's been a long day. Better replay this. Make sure you guys are taking notes. This is something that I feel like everybody needs to up their game in when it comes to the intelligence and the way that we communicate. So I hope you guys love this conversation. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe, and share below what you feel like in this conversation. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continue
continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.